Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you led your Son to introduce to your church the sacraments. We thank you that when we come to the table, we are reminded that our Savior laid down his life. He laid down his life obediently and humbly and willingly and lovingly to secure the forgiveness of our sins and our everlasting life. We thank you, Father, that we have opportunity to commemorate his death and his saving work for us in your church. Help us then this evening to understand more this supper and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin reading this evening from 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, which will be followed by another reading. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. Let us give heed to the word of God. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And then our second reading from John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41 and going through 59. Again, let us give our attention to God's word. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And thus we end the reading of God's word. At the table the first time when Jesus instituted this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so our focus when we come to the table is to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be many distractions when we come to worship. We can be thinking about our problems. We can be thinking about what we're doing when we get home. We can think about what's on the agenda for tomorrow. What appointments do I have? Or we can even think about the singing. How did we do on that hymn? Or we can think about a lot of other things. But our focus is to be not on the bread, not on the wine, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. The supper is about him. He told us to do it in remembrance of him. And so if we don't do it, we sin. If we don't partake of the supper, we sin. We should not take withholding ourselves from the supper as a light thing. We are disobedient to his command. And if we don't take the supper properly, we sin against him. And we should be focusing on him and trying to please him. If someone who is not a Christian partakes of the supper, that's disobeying the Lord Jesus. Or if we come to the table and we're not prepared, we come to the table and we're distracted. Do this, he says, in remembrance of me. And neither should we think of the supper in a demeaning way. And perhaps you don't. But it can be a temptation for those of us in Protestant churches. For we know that there are people who believe that the highest point in worship is the receiving of communion, participating in communion. We as Reformed people don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. We believe that the highest point in the service is the preaching and reading of the Word of God. Other things are very important. The singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the prayers, the confessions of faith, confessions of sin, and so on. And the Lord's Supper and baptism are vital parts of worship because other people overly emphasize the sacraments. We should not demean them. We are commanded to obey the Lord in these sacraments. Now, the sacraments are signs and seals. A sign indicates something else. A sign points to something else. A sign points to the reality, as the wine points to the blood of Christ and the bread points to his body. The sacraments are seals to confirm our faith. They go along with the word. They go alongside the word to drive the gospel home into our hearts, to bring us more to Christ. Church Father Augustine famously said in the 5th century that a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. And God uses these sacraments to make us understand the gospel more clearly, that God grants us forgiveness of our sins and eternal life because of Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. So here in Lord's Day 28 in the Heidelberg Catechism, we come to the Lord's Supper. Question 77 asks, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers as they partake of the supper? The answer, of course, in several places of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Also in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, which we just read. And John 6 informs us about this as well. So I would like us to think tonight about two truths from Lord's Day 28. Two truths. First of all, the Lord's Supper reminds us that we believers share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his benefits. Coming to the supper, we are reminded that we share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and all his benefits. Christ's body was offered and broken for me, and his blood poured out for me on the cross. And when we say his body was broken on the cross, we know Scripture says not one bone was broken, but he was crucified on the cross. His body suffered on the cross for me and for you, for every believer. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread is the communion of the body of Christ. When we are communing at the table, we have fellowship with Christ. We are meeting with Jesus Christ at his table. Notice it says, the catechism uses the personal pronoun, me. Christ died for me. And that you must believe if you're a Christian. Christ died specifically for people he intended to save. Christ died specifically for people the Father had chosen and given to him. Christ died for the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Christ died for the true church, the true people of God. Christ died for the elect. In Matthew 1:21, we read, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. His people who were elect from before the foundation of the world. His people chosen of the Father. His people who were called, foreknown, predestined, those whom he will justify and glorify, as Romans 8 teaches. Christ died for the sheep and not the goats. In John 10:11, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:11. Now here's a question. Did he die for you? Do you know in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe in your heart that you were one of those individuals for whom he died? That is the Christian faith. Have you been convicted that he died for you? As you read the scriptures, do you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you? Not one drop of blood from the Lord Jesus was shed in vain. He will save everyone whom the Father has chosen. This is personal. Christ died for me. Christ died for you personally if we are believers. In Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul wrote, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. That man who had been known as Saul, that man who had persecuted Christians, that individual said, Christ died for me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So, we are indebted to Christ. We owe him a great debt, which we can never repay. But we can live a life of gratitude. We can present our bodies as living sacrifices to him. We can live to glorify him and not ourselves. That is, we can by the power of the Spirit. And thinking back over my life, I remember, and this has just come to me through the years, my later years, all the people I've had teach me, having been to school and college and seminary, and all the teachers and professors I've had, I think predominantly of my third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade teachers. These were godly women. I did not realize what an influence they would have on my life. Godly women who were dedicated to their students. Two of them were unmarried. Totally dedicated to that profession. What an impression they made on my life, and how unthankful I had been. I go back to my high school years, and I think of this one friend who was older than I when I was having a hard time socially and in my sports life because I wasn't very successful, who encouraged me and came by my side and befriended me and took him for granted. Yes, I did. And I'm so sorry when I think back on my father, how he taught me some great lessons. And my father was not a great talker. But by example, I learned from him lessons that are invaluable. Didn't appreciate it at the time. So, what can I do about that? Well, I can repent of my sin and ask God's forgiveness. And I can think most of all of my Lord who gave himself for me to give me everlasting life. And you can do that too. The Lord's Supper reminds me of this. By his death on the cross, I am saved personally. But if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those benefits are not yours. You don't have salvation. You don't have forgiveness. You don't have everlasting life. And so we all need to come to him and believe in him. And as we're thinking about Christ's death on the cross at the supper and at other times, we realize another thing taught in Scripture is this. You have been crucified with Christ if you are a believer. You have been crucified with Christ. And of course we say, well, wait a second. I wasn't there at Calvary. Obviously, I couldn't live that long. How am I crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Galatians 2:20 is where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Romans 6, verse 3 helps explain this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? Romans 6, 3. Of course, we know water baptism does not unite it to Christ, but the spiritual baptism does. Unites us to Christ. We are united to Christ by the invisible work of the Holy Spirit. United to him in his death. And further, Romans 6:6 explains, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Romans 6, verse 6. I was crucified with Christ, you were crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Christ died on the cross, and when I was united to him, I died to the old self. You died to your old self. You died to sin. Sin has no more dominion over you if you are in Christ Jesus. Do we still sin? Of course. Of course we still sin, but we're not slaves of sin anymore. We don't have to sin every time we're tempted, because Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And we are no longer living for ourselves, we are living for him. We have been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with. And the supper is reminding me of that. Christ died, I died with him. I died to my old self, I died to my sins. But also in the supper, Christ nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. We have communion with Christ in the supper, fellowship with him. Christ nourishes us there. The primary nourishment we receive as Christ's disciples is from the Word. Through his Word, he feeds us, he nourishes us, we grow in grace. It is the main part of our spiritual diet. In our physical diet, we're supposed to eat various things from different food groups. We're not supposed to only eat meat, and less these days. We're supposed to eat our veggies and our fruit as well. So we are told. And to feed upon Christ, we feed upon the Word, and in addition, we have the sacraments, one of which is the Lord's Supper. Your body gets stronger with a balanced diet. Your spirit gets stronger with a balanced diet. We have communion with Christ in the Word and in the sacraments. So we read the Word at home, in our families and alone, and when we're alone, we meditate upon the Word. We come and assemble together to worship God, and the minister preaches the Word to us. We are fed by that, and that is our primary food. But Christ also nourishes us in the Lord's Supper. He teaches us here as we eat and drink the same old gospel. Christ died for our sins. Christ lives in us. Christ continues to uphold us. Christ is coming back to get us and take us to be home with him. He strengthens and nourishes us in the supper. So first of all, believers share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his benefits. Secondly, as we partake of the supper, we eat the crucified body of Christ and drink his poured out blood, as question and answer 76 tell us. We feed on Christ by faith in the supper. In John 6, I want to refer to a series of verses here that tell us about this. In John 6, well, overall, what these verses tell us is this, that to come to Christ, to believe in him, and to eat his flesh and drink his blood are the same thing. In verse 44, he said that no one can come to him unless the Father who sent him draws him. It is God's power that enables us to come to Christ. We come to Christ. Verse 45 refers to those who come to Christ. John 6, verse 45. Verse 47, he who believes in Christ has everlasting life. Coming to Christ, believing in Christ. Verse 51, if anyone eats the bread, he will live forever. That is Christ, the bread from heaven. John 6, 51. Verse 53, unless one eats the flesh and drinks the blood of Jesus, he has no life in him. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood, verse 53. And verse 54, whoever eats Christ's flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life, verse 54. So putting these all together, to come to Christ, to believe in him, to eat his flesh and drink his blood are the same. To eat his flesh and drink his blood spiritually, by faith, to believe in him. This is the action we take in the Lord's Supper. We come to him, we express faith in him, we eat his flesh and drink his blood symbolically. So we eat and drink of Christ in the supper by faith, spiritually. Our faith is active. I know we receive the elements, but we chew the bread and swallow it, and we drink the wine. As we do that, not only are we active in that way, but our faith is to be active if we do this effectively. We take action. By these actions of eating and drinking, we demonstrate our faith. We illustrate our faith in Christ and our communion with him. But our minds have to be engaged. We have to be thinking. We have to be concentrating. Our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what happens if your mind wanders during a conversation with your spouse. If you're married, it's not a good thing. You wake up in the middle of a question and you don't know how to answer it. That's not good. We want to be alert. We want to be paying attention instead of having this glazed look in our eyes when our spouse looks at us. And that requires focus. Likewise, we need to focus on Christ in the supper. Is it hard for you to focus during a movie? Is it hard for you to focus during a video? Well, we're human. We're human. It takes effort. It takes activity. It takes energy. And we need to exercise faith when we're participating in the supper. Just as when we're reading the word or listening to it, we have to be active. We have to be energetic. So we're active, eating and drinking of Christ in the supper by faith. God the Holy Spirit regenerates people. He gives us life. He enables us to believe. And then as he works in the supper, he enables us to trust in Christ there at the table and to feed upon him and to receive nourishment from him as we participate. We take in strength, we receive assurance and confidence from Christ as we partake of the supper because we are exercising faith because the Spirit is working. But if we're lazy, we miss. We miss so much. We miss grace. We miss the blessing in that supper. We have a friend in one of our former churches who used to tell me that before he came to church that morning, he had 2 cups of coffee so he could be alert, so he could concentrate, so he could pay attention. We need to be alert at the table as well. Through the Spirit, then at the table, we are more and more united to Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Holy Spirit brings us into the body of Christ. He does this by the Word. He convicts us of our sin. He leads us to repentance and trust in Christ and brings us into His body, the church. And the Holy Spirit unites us more and more to Christ in the supper. We grow in grace at the table. The Spirit is at work when we eat the bread and drink the wine. So we need to come to the table in a prayerful mood. And that's affected by what we do before we come to church. If we are hurrying, rushing, as I have done many times, we're not really in the mood for worship, are we? We have to do our short preparation that Sunday, and we have to get serious about meeting with the Lord and as we come to the table as well. As we think and pray, the Spirit works in our minds. He works sovereignly as He pleases. As He did to bring you to faith, He works in you to take you further in grace and in faith. And He does this not only with the Word, but with the sacrament. He makes us more like Christ. So the second point is, we eat the crucified body of Christ and drink His poured out blood in the supper. So as we've considered this evening communion with the body and blood of Christ, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd and that He shepherds His sheep. He saves us. He gives His life for us. And the supper reminds us of that. The supper reminds us of what He has done for us and what He still does for us at the right hand of the Father and what He will do for us when He returns. He feeds us by the Word and sacrament. He says, "My sheep know My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Jesus knows us individually. He knows how to provide for our needs individually, and He does so through the Word and sacrament. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We know His voice, and we follow Him. We follow our good shepherd, not perfectly, but by grace and by the Spirit, we follow Him. We follow Him even when He says, "Do this in remembrance of Me." For the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, we thank You for taking us as Your own and adopting us into Your family. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for sacrificing yourself on the cross and arising from the dead to save us. And God the Holy Spirit, we are grateful for the new life you've given us, for your sanctifying work in us. Our great and glorious God, we ask you to continue to save your people and build us up in the faith by the word and sacrament. Truly make us your spotless and blameless bride. Amen. Number 537 is our hymn of response. Jesus, Master, whose I